Welcome to Smart Companies Thinking Bigger Radio. Get the inside scoop on how America's most successful business owners transform their entrepreneurial vision into reality. And listen in as some of the top business minds in the country serve up practical advice, tips, and insights for growing your business. Now here's your host, Kelly Scanlon.
Good morning. Welcome to Smart Companies Radio. I'm Kelly Scanlon, publisher of Thinking Bigger Business Media. Our guest today is Alec Haight. He is with Pioneer Music Company, which is a sixth-generation-owned company here in the Kansas City area. And the company was recently an honoree in our Class of 2018 25 Under 25 Award Program. So we're really happy to have Alec here today to talk with us about what the company does after six generations and just how the heck they've kept this company going for so many years. So welcome to the show, Alec. We're eager to hear more of your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Kelly. I'm excited to be on here and excited to kind of tell our story.
Well, let's just start there then. So Pioneer Music Company was started by, what relative of yours would that have been? How many years ago?
Yeah, so it would have been James Haight, and he would have been my great-great-grandfather, and he founded it in 1869, so we're coming up on our 150th anniversary.
Wow, that is just amazing. What does Pioneer Music Company do now?
So now we are a wholesale distributor of high-end consumer electronics. We focus in the residential and commercial electronics space, largely in audiovisual and automation electronics.
Okay. So give me some examples of who your clients might be and what kind of projects you might do for them.
Yeah, so our customers we refer to as custom integrators, and they are the guys who are going to go to new development projects. If you wanted to redo an entertainment system in your house, or if a bar and grill down the street wanted to put a row of televisions in, the custom integrators will come to our store and they will pick up everything they need for that job, and then they will go and do the install. So for us, we need guys who are willing to program an entire system behind a computer, but at the same time, our customer goes out and they hang the TVs and they run the wire and they set up and get everybody technologically advanced.
Now, obviously, that kind of technology didn't exist in the late 1800s. So what are you doing now? I mean, excuse me, what was the company founded on?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Back in 1869, James Haight, he would have opened up as a retail operation, Pioneer Hardware Company, and he incorporated 10 years later as Pioneer Hardware and Music. And so under the hardware name, we primarily sold farming equipment and other implements. And after that, when they added the music, what had happened was the second generation, Frank, his wife actually was a piano teacher, and she brought in sheet music. And so that's where we got Pioneer Hardware and Music.
Okay. And so you were selling sheet music. Because when you said you added music to the name, I thought, okay, that would have still been pretty progressive back in the late 1800s or late 1860s. So you were selling sheet music. And how have you progressed over the years? You know, how has that transition occurred from generation to generation, which is just astounding. We were talking before we went on the air here today, and there are just so few companies that make it through, you know, just one generation transition to the second, much less six. How have you done that from a family standpoint as well as from a product standpoint?
Yeah, and that is something that it has not come without its challenges. And in fact, we hadn't really looked back at it ourselves until here lately once we started having all this recent success. And we took a look back, and every generation has had a great mixture of entrepreneurship as well as kind of expanded beyond that. So the business has really evolved with every generation. So after James founded it, and Frank came in second generation, and he kind of expanded it with the sheet music, and then his wife also brought dishes and fine china into the inventory to sell retail. So all of a sudden, yeah, you've got this retail outlet that takes on an identity as a hardware and implement store, and then the second generation, now it's adding fine china. So they kind of established this identity as the small town store on Main Street, and whatever they could sell, they started bringing in. Now, the third generation was whenever the Great Depression was going on. And so that would have been, we would have had four family members running it at that time, Carl, Clarence, Paul, and Frankie Haight. And back then, whenever the Depression hit, Paul had to go off and fight in World War II. The company was losing $25,000 per year, and they were just scratching tooth and nail to make $7.50 a day. We still have the ledgers that go back and the diaries that go back and say that. So that was a unique challenge for them, to where they couldn't really redefine the business. It was much more just scratch and fight for everything that they could gain.
Right.
Yeah. So right around that time, they also decided to go and open up another retail store in Chanute, Kansas, believe it or not. And Chanute is where I'm eventually, or where I am from originally. And so when they opened this store up, and they had the two retail operations in Burlington and Chanute, they decided that they needed a warehouse to hold all their inventory. And so in the late 20s, they built a warehouse in Chanute to hold the inventory. And that warehouse is actually still in operation today, and we still employ two people that work out of that warehouse.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
I mentioned that because that warehouse, what happened later was the fourth generation comes along, and that was my grandfather, Jack, and then Paul Haight. And they took over in the mid-50s. And that was my grandpa that ended up seeing a vision into wholesale distribution. And so he took that warehouse that they built for their inventory, and he said, you know what, there are a lot of small brick-and-mortar stores around Southeast Kansas that we can really hold their inventory. And so he it was the visionary that really said, wholesale is what we need to do. So he hired one roadman to cover about a 75-mile radius from Chanute, and they started fulfilling companies all around Southeast Kansas out of this warehouse. So that was when we made the trek into wholesale distribution, I would say.
Okay, so that would have been three generations ago? I'm trying to keep up with these generations.
Yes, so that was the fourth generation, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
And so he goes and he takes that, and you know, he had a lot of lessons that he learned. There was one to where Philco, they came, and that was a big television line, and so or refrigerator line, and they came in and signed us on, and we ended up being the highest per capita sales with Philco, and it was just unreal. We were having a lot of success, and then Philco ended up cutting us, and that was kind of a big challenge for my grandfather to take that and continue to move on. And in doing that, we kind of went to a lot of the dealers around the territory. They were debating on shutting the store down. And the dealers said, look, we don't care what you carry. We will buy it from you. We are Pioneer Music customers before we're anybody else's customers. And that really shows the testament of customer service and serving all of these other stores around our territory that has really kind of bled throughout all the generations. And that would have been gone into the 1980s whenever the fifth generation started really having a major play in the business. And that would have been my father, Dan, and his brother, Mark Haight. And so their challenges right off the bat were to take this distribution company that was still fairly new in the eyes of our company, and to really establish its footprint more than just Southeast Kansas. So I know when my dad went on the road, my grandpa handed him a list of towns, and he said, yeah, I think that there might be some business out there in western Kansas. You can either go to college or you can go out and get this business going. So my dad went out and did that, and slowly but surely, we went from Southeast Kansas to distribute over Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, and southern Illinois. And that was kind of the challenge early on, where I mentioned the entrepreneurship aspect of this distribution company. So my grandfather, Jack, the fourth generation, stayed in the business until about the year 2000. And when he retired, then everything was still run by pen and pencil and paper. So we were selling electronics, but we hadn't really technologically advanced our own company with all of that. At that point, I mentioned that because Dan and Mark, they go, and what was becoming more and more of a pertinent factor in our industry was to have just-in-time inventory for what's called the custom integrator. And that
Mm-hmm.
is our customer as we see it today. But back, we didn't really start serving the custom integrator until 2005, 2006. And that was
That has,
where...
yeah, very recently.
Yes. And so that was where my father and his brother saw the vision to open up a warehouse up here in Lenexa. And so they did that, and they started running it, and we got to about 2013, and my dad's brother decided, he said, you know what, the vision for this company requires these just-in-time inventory locations in big developing markets, and he went ahead and said, Dan, go ahead and take the company and continue on with that vision. It's time for me to bow out. And so my dad's brother retired in 2013. At that point, I was in college, and it provided me the opportunity to go to class and study everything that was going on with the business as I'm learning in school. And I remember sitting down with my dad back in 2013, and we just had the conversation, look, this model that's developed in Kansas City, it can be replicated throughout the other markets in the territory. And so that has kind of been the story of the sixth generation so far, is taking what was identified by my dad and his brother and seeing the opportunity for that, and then taking that and scaling it across the territory, as well as adding some e-commerce features and whatnot to the company. So that is about as brief as I can get in explaining the turns from generation to generation.
Oh, you did a great job there, and very clear. I do want to know, though, when did you drop the name? At what point did you drop the hardware part of the name, and it became strictly Pioneer Music Company?
Yeah, so that would have been back in the fourth generation when my grandfather, when Jack took and opened up a wholesale arm. And so he opened up the wholesale company as Pioneer Music Company. And he was a supplier for some of his relatives that were still running Pioneer Hardware in Burlington. And so it was operating as two separate entities, essentially. And it wasn't for about, I think they did that for 10 to 15 more years before finally the Burlington store just sold all of its stock and closed down.
Okay. When did you get involved with the company? And also, as you respond to that, did you always know you were going to be part of the company because this has been so many generations? Did you just grow up knowing that eventually that you would be playing an integral role? Or did you at one point think, you know, maybe I'll do something different? How did that all evolve?
Yeah, that is a wonderful question. And one I definitely have asked myself growing up. To just answer off the bat, when did I become involved in the company? If I could say as soon as I was born, I would answer that.
I figured I'd get something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was. My dad was always having vendors and customers staying the night at our house whenever they were coming over for meetings, and we were always sitting there and talking this or that about the business. And so it was. He's always kind of been molding my mind toward that. I didn't start working in the company until seventh grade, and I started doing shipping and handling for them, and I progressed, just naturally worked for the company until I got to college. Once I was in college, I originally had gone there to be an engineer, and I decided I was going to pursue that route. And then in 2013 was when the buyout happened, and I looked back at everything that my dad had done for the company and everything that all of my relatives had done, and I said, you know what, this is something that we've got to work through together. And so that's when I switched my majors to finance and management, and decided that I was going to help my father, and came in. And from there, you know, I'll be honest, I still wasn't sold. And I had an internship with the Federal Reserve Bank, and then I had another one with Aldi grocery stores. And it didn't take me long after those two to realize that the Pioneer was where I was supposed to be. And so I wasn't always sold off the bat, and it's something that the mission for myself definitely took some time to play out, but I can honestly say that now I've been here for 3 years now, full time. It has been nothing but rewarding, and it's been challenging, but I definitely see why I'm here and why I was meant to be here.
What would you say to our listeners today who may be in family businesses, and they may have children working in the business, but either the children or the parents who founded it or grandparents, whatever it might be, whatever generation they're on, are not sure about that new generation coming on? Even you weren't sure. what finally flipped the switch for you, and why? What would you advise others in this situation?
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question in family business. And what I will say for me was I sought out a lot of mentors and really voiced my opinion to a lot of them on what I was struggling with. And the best advice I ever got was from one of my mentors, actually Stephen Minnis, the president of Benedictine College. And he sat me down one day, and we were talking about where I wanted to go, and he said, you know what, Alec, you need to look at your life as if you're getting on a train here. And he said, take a look at your train ticket, and what all stops do you want to punch into that ticket? And he said, if you're getting on this train and you're just riding along and you're punching stops to be punching them and they aren't really getting you to your end destination, he said, you really need to think twice about where you're going. And so I looked at that, and I kind of looked at the internships that I was experiencing and with great organizations, but ultimately it's not where I wanted my train to stop. And so I realized that I was just punching holes in my ticket to be punching them. So with that, I kind of sat back down with my dad and had an honest heart-to-heart discussion with him about where we could fit, how we could work together, and where he wanted the business to go, and where I wanted the business to go, and then where we both wanted to go as individuals. And what I can say is, in doing that, our relationship became way more real, with a capital R, to where we can start out at 8 o'clock and we can be just dreaming together, more motivated than ever. By 9 o'clock, we can be ready to be done with each other and never talk again. But, you know, by 9:30, we're going to be clapping hands and going on. And the thing is open communication and continuously talking about it and voicing how you feel and remembering the vision and remembering that we're only strong if we're together. And that has kind of been the key to really working through it. The minute that we start, where we stop communicating, is the minute that we become our own worst enemies in our minds. And so with that, I would say kind of the long answer, the short answer is really, really think about the future and where you want to be as an individual, as well as the future goal for the business, and then stay open and stay communicating to each other about it.
Yeah, and I suppose that your father probably encouraged you to look at some of these other possibilities because you had to be sure. You had to embrace it yourself and want to do it as opposed to, oh, well, I'm part of this family and I don't want to be the sixth generation that breaks the string. You had to, I'm sure he wanted you to actively embrace it as your own.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And in fact, it was him who advised me whenever I went off to school. It was 2011, right after, or really at the end of the recession. And he said, son, I want you to do something that's recession-proof. And so he actually encouraged me to look at other routes right off the bat.
Yeah. Tell us about the culture in your company now. And given that it's a family business, I know that each generation has had to adapt to the market. Place that is pretty straightforward, I would think. But from a culture standpoint, has the family been able to keep a consistent culture throughout? And if so, what's that based on?
Yeah, and believe it or not, that's been the one thing that has really kept us going. And I'm kind of referring to it now with the guys is we need to continue to establish our foundation. And so often we're here in this period of great growth, and everyone's focusing on what I would call the ceiling. And I say, look, we can't stand up and touch that unless we really get our foundation solid. And so then we start talking about what that is, and everything revolves around family, of course, and that's what's gone on through these six generations. And in that, every family member that's kind of been at the helm has really established this identity of hard work and then really over-servicing the customer. And there's a lot that goes into that, but at the same time, there's not a lot that goes into that. And it has really, we've hired people that didn't buy into that, and you know what? They don't last for a long time here. But what I would say with that, the culture now where, yes, we have some of the hardest working people I've ever met. But what I just can't get over is how humble everybody is here. And when I say that, it's because we have this level of vulnerability trust to where Yeah, we're hard workers, but when we do mess up, we are going to come and we're going to ask for help. And being open and honest and able to kind of admit where we need help, that has been monumental in us overcoming a lot of these obstacles because we don't sit and we don't just bury things. It's, hey, if we need help, we talk about it. But the second level of that is remaining accountable. And when people do open up and people do need help, ourselves included, we need to hold each other accountable to getting better. And we have a group of people here, and the groups that have really advanced the organization in the past that we've held each other accountable. And it's not anybody here will do anything you ask them. And at the same time, we're going to do it to the best of our ability. So all of that just goes into a lot of the team that we have. They've been here for a long time. They've moved their lives from Chanute to Kansas City, or they've moved their lives from Kansas City to Omaha, and they've gone on, and they're just some of the people of the highest integrity. And it all goes on that level of vulnerability, trust, of just being able to say, hey, I need help, and then everybody remaining accountable. And that's really kind of established the foundation to be able to do anything and everything we want to do.
Well, and that doesn't go unnoticed by your customers either. So it sounds like the last 149 years, you're feeling able to transition the company from a hardware retail type store to a wholesale electronics company. But what hasn't changed are just those good old-fashioned traditional values that any kind of trust and any kind of long-term relationships are built on.
Yep, you are absolutely right, and it's really good to reflect back on whenever you're having a good day or you're having a bad day, and you think back, well, you know what? 3 generations ago, they were just scratch tooth and nailing for $7.50 a day, and it really makes our problems look a little less severe.
Right. What do you see as the future of the company? I mean, you see it lasting another few generations at least, or where's your head as you move forward now?
Yeah, that would be great if it could. And as I sit and plan for the future, it's really tough to get anywhere beyond 5 years in this fast-paced world.
It
Because
is.
shoot. So what I would say is our immediate future, we're looking at expanding further and opening some additional locations here in the Midwest, as well as increasing our online presence. Website renovations and whatnot, and so just getting better in the convenience factor for our customers. Longer term than that, I would say our future, we are really, really interested in just establishing the strongest footprint that we can here in the Midwest, and it's we really want to be the owners of the flyover states, I guess, is what we talk about. We don't want to get too big to where we can't handle ourselves and we really lose our foundation. But we want to make sure that as we establish this footprint here in the Midwest, now we're going to refine it and then make it as best as we possibly can.
And what is your website, Alec, for people who may want to go out and find out more about the company, more about you? What website would you recommend?
So that one they would go to www.pmcav.com, and that stands for Pioneer Music Company Audio Video. So pmcav.com.
Okay, so we've been talking here with Alex Haight. He is the sixth generation of Pioneer Music Company, and you can go and find out more about them at pmcav.com. Alec, it's been wonderful having you here on the show today, and all I can say is, wow, to last that long, and as you say, in this kind of fast-moving environment, I bet you have seen more change in the last 10 years than the company probably did in the previous 139.
Yeah, and I think that would be a pretty accurate statement. Things are moving fast, and continue to serve the customer, and that has played out to where we can move with the change.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. And then again, pmcav.com if you're interested in hearing more about the Pioneer Music Company story and what they do today. Thank you again, Alec. And if you'd like to learn more about how to grow your business, please visit our website at ithinkbigger.com. Follow us on Facebook, Thinking Bigger Business Media, or on Twitter at ithinkbigger. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.